It's great to see you this morning, and I'm looking forward to our time together. I'm excited about several things. One is, later in our time together, after we're finished live streaming, I'm looking forward to hearing from some of you about the prayer that perhaps you've personalized and taken from the Scripture. And we'll have an opportunity to do that after we finish our lesson. But secondly, I'm also excited about today's prayer lesson and our time alone with God training. This is a very, very significant lesson, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you what I'm learning as we look together at our time alone with God. As we get started, I know we don't always do this, but as we get started to put our minds in a connection with the Lord prayerfully and thoughtfully, I'd like us, instead of ending our time with the Lord's Prayer, I'd like to begin our time with the Lord's Prayer, and trusting that as we voice that prayer to Him, it will help us connect with Him and He with us. So may we together pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." All right, well, let's get started. As you know, we've been looking together at how to strengthen our time alone with God. And we have taken different aspects of that time and discussed them week by week. One of those aspects or steps in our time alone with God, we have chosen to call preparation. And by preparation, we simply mean listening. Listening for the voice of the Lord. And we take our cue from the story of young Samuel, who said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. He's hearing you." Then we continued discussing another aspect of our time alone with God, and that was the idea or the aspect of waiting on the Lord. You know, that's something that as people in our day and time, it doesn't come naturally. But as we wait on Him, we allow Him to love us, we allow Him to search us, and we allow Him to show us. Well, that leads to the third aspect of our time alone with God, confession. When we allow God to love us and search us and show us, He may show us a sin that needs to be confessed. And so right then, right there is the time and the place to confess our sin. And we remind ourselves this morning of the power of that. Because in 1 John 1:9, and we know this verse, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There's no blockage to our time alone with God now, which allows us to proceed to the next step or the next aspect, our time in the Word of God or Bible time. And last week, when we discussed Bible time, we took a particular practice that can be used in our Bible time, and we called it praying Scripture. And we talked about that last week, and later in this morning's time together, I look forward to hearing from you about the prayers that you have personalized from the Scripture and made your own, because I believe that is a powerful way to make our time alone with God deeper and stronger. This morning, I want to introduce yet another aspect of our time alone with God. If you're a numerical person, this is step five, okay? And it is meditation time. Meditation time. This morning, I want to pose three questions and answer them. They all have to do with meditation. And the first question is this: what is it? What is it when we use that term, meditation? I'm going to give you a real simple statement, and it's rooted in the scripture, and I'll give you the scripture after we've described it. All right? Here's what meditation is. It is understanding the scripture and applying the scripture to our lives. Meditation is first understanding the scripture and secondly applying the scripture to our lives. There is a reference in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, where this definition of meditation is found. James wrote, and I quote, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Notice he uses two aspects of our time in the word. He talks about listening to the word. He said, listen, but don't stop there. After you listen and have understood the word, then he says, do what it says. Meditation is what bridges hearing the word of God and applying the word of God to our life. That's what it is. Meditation isn't complete when we just hear, when we just listen. Meditation has done its job when we begin to practice what we've heard. Does that make sense? I think that's a very important distinction. There are a lot of listeners and a lot of people who hear, but the difference between a person who's going to connect with God and please God and have that time alone with God that's powerful is the person that goes beyond the listening aspect and through meditation completes it and does it in their day-to-day lives. So that's a definition, simple but I think profound if you think about it, of what it means to do meditation. It's not some mysterious practice from the East or some special, you know, idea that we can't grasp and hold on to and understand. It's simple. Hear the word, do the word. Meditation is the practice that gets us from hearing to doing. Second question about meditation today that I hope we can answer. How can I practice meditation? How can I meditate effectively on the scripture? I want to go beyond understanding to doing, but first I must understand if I'm to do, right? So if I don't understand at the first part, how can I put it into practice in the second part? I want to share with you what I learned from a pastor who is no longer living, but whose ministry has impacted my life. I imagine most of us in this room have heard of Adrian Rogers. All right. He was a very, very powerful preacher. He had a gift. And one day I was listening to a message he was bringing, and I jotted it down as fast as I could, and I think I captured most of it. He gave what he liked to call six keys to understanding the scripture. Six keys to understanding the scripture. So if we're going to first hear and understand it so that we can then apply it and do it, how do we go about actually understanding it to begin with? Because I've had a lot of people over the years come to me and say, Brother Ken, I just don't know how to understand this, let alone practice it. Help me. Well, this is a tool right here that will help us in our process of meditation. You can get a good understanding of any passage as you apply these six keys to it. And they're in the form of a question. Each key is a question. So I encourage you to write these down. They will help you. I know they have helped me. The first question to understanding the scripture. Ask this. Is there a promise to claim here? Is there a promise to claim here? You know, some scriptures are an actual promise from God Himself. And as you read the scripture, ask, is this a promise? Is this a promise from God? And is this a promise I need to claim? That's one key. Here's the second. The second key to understanding the scripture. Is there a lesson to learn here? Is there a lesson to learn here? Some scriptures may not be a promise from God per se, but the scripture passage may be a powerful lesson. You know, I go to some of the Old Testament stories. You know, I grew up in a heritage and a tradition where we studied the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I learned a lot of those stories, and they stuck in my mind. And one of the reasons I love those old stories is a lot of times, if you'll look at them, there's a lesson in that story, especially if you think about ancient Israel's exodus from Egypt and their conquering of the promised land. There are all kinds of lessons that are still can be applied to my life, your life, in our day and in our time, even though we live in a different testament period. So ask, is there a promise to claim, or ask if there is a lesson to learn here? Here is the third key to understanding your Bible and your scripture reading. Is there a blessing to enjoy here? Is there a blessing to enjoy? You know, some of the scriptures are great and rich blessings to enjoy. I think of some of the scriptures that have to do with the second coming of Jesus. Some of the blessings that have to do with the promise of heaven. I think about some of the blessings that Jesus taught about in the Beatitudes. You know, sometimes those things that Jesus called a blessing, we at first might look at as, is that a blessing? If we learn to look at it like Jesus did, we will see blessings in the scripture. So if it's not a promise to claim, if it's not a lesson to learn, maybe there's a blessing in that passage. And as you try to understand it so that you can apply it, ask that question. Is there a blessing to enjoy here? Here's number four. Here's the fourth key to understanding your scripture. Is there a command to obey? Is there a command to obey here? You know, some scripture is going to challenge us. It's not just blessings. It sometimes is a commandment. You know, I think of Jesus when he was asked, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And we remember that unbelievably powerful passage of Scripture. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When we get to those kind of passages, there are commands to obey. Does that make sense? That's one of the more direct and easier to grasp aspects of meditation. Sometimes the scripture just spells it out. Here's what you're to do. And so then you move straight to application. Meditation isn't so hard when it's a scripture or a command that you're actually reading there. Here's the fifth key. Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a sin to avoid here? You know, sometimes it's helpful and it's the work of the Holy Spirit to just lift up out of a scripture a sin that was being practiced or judged or justified or confessed. Is there a sin in this scripture that I need to avoid? It's helpful. It's profitable for us to say, Lord, is there a sin here that not only do they need to avoid, but that I need to avoid? Boy, when you get to that place, now you're really getting into the purpose of meditation. It removes anything from us that is unlike God, and it restores us to a walk with God. Is there a sin to avoid? That's the fifth key to understanding the scripture. Here's the sixth key. Is there a new thought to carry with me? Is there a new thought to carry with me? You know, some scripture is not necessarily a promise or a lesson or a blessing or a command or a sin. Some scripture just contains a new thought to carry with you. And that's yet another way that we can test a scripture and understand a scripture. And with these six keys, we can unlock a lot of scriptures and their meaning. And we can begin to understand them. And once we've understood them, then we move to the next phase where we say, Lord, am I doing this? And He'll help you know. His Holy Spirit will say, yes, you're doing this, or no, you're not doing this. When are you going to start? And that's the power of the Word of God. When we meditate on the Scripture, when we devote ourselves to understanding it and then doing it, that's meditation. And it's powerful. Here's the third question about meditation. We've already talked about what it is. We've already talked about how can I practice it through the six keys that we were given. But here is the third question. What can I expect in my life as I practice meditation? What can I expect in my life when I practice meditation? And I want you to turn in your Bible, whether you're here in the room with me, or if you're watching at home live stream, or even later on if you're listening to a recording of this, I want you to turn to Psalm 1. Go in your Bible to the book of Psalm and look at Psalm number 1. This psalm answers the question, what can I expect in my life and in my experience with God as I meditate in my time alone with Him? Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. I'll start there. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So we've defined a person who meditates on the law of God. And it contrasts it with those who practice a sinful lifestyle and in conflict and opposition to the Word. There's two kinds of people being described here. Those who disregard the word and live in complete contradiction to it, and those who meditate on the word day and night. Now, here was that question that I ask, and I repeat it one more time. What can the man or the woman who meditates on the Lord day and night expect to happen and see in their lives? Look at verse 3. It says, he or she is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he or she does prospers. Friends, there are some word pictures there that describe the benefits that come to the person, the man or the woman, the boy or the girl, who chooses to meditate, to understand and put into practice the word of God. The writer of Psalms says that person will be like a tree planted by streams of water. Picture in your mind, have you ever seen a tree planted by the streams of water, perhaps growing on a stream or a riverbank? What does that tree tend to show throughout the entire summer season? Do you see that tree withering? Do you see that tree with leaves curling up and dropping off? No. Why is that? The roots are in contact with soil and moisture no matter what the weather. That tree is prospering. That tree is healthy. That's what comes to a person who meditates on the Word of God. Health. Spiritual health and vitality. Just as surely as a tree is strong and healthy when its roots are growing into the soil on the bank of a stream or a river where there's adequate nutrients and moisture, so you, when you put the roots of your spirit into the Word of God, understanding them and putting them into practice, you're going to be healthy spiritually. You're going to be strong spiritually. It also says, not only is it like a tree, he like a tree planted by streams of water, but it says, this tree yields its fruit in season. In other words, a person who meditates is not just healthy, but they're fruitful. They're fruitful. You will see coming out of that person's life fruit, spiritual fruit. We think about a scripture in Galatians that describes the fruits of the Spirit. Love grows in the life controlled and led by the Spirit. Joy grows in the life of a person led by the Spirit and meditating on the Word of God. Love, joy, peace, and you know that they are all wonderful fruits of the Spirit. In fact, I'm just going to run over there real quick. In Galatians, if I'm not mistaken, it's in the 5th chapter. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, in the New Testament. Here it is, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what will grow in you as you meditate on the Word of God. And these are in direct contradiction to the very bitter products of a life separated from the Word. Just to make the contrast, Paul not only describes the fruit of a person who the Spirit is growing these fruits in, but he also talks about those, what you can expect to grow in your life if you're not in the Word and you're not controlled by the Spirit. Look at Galatians 5:19. Here's the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. Here's what grows in a life that does not meditate on the Word and does not have the Spirit bringing meditation and practice into reality. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. You see, something's going to grow in us. It just depends where our spiritual roots are and what we're feeding our minds with. If we feed our mind on the Word of God, understanding it, practicing it, meditating is the key, that will change the fruit that comes out in our life. But if we ignore the Word, these other terrible fruits will grow. They're not fruits of the Spirit. They're the acts of a sinful nature, devoid of God's Word, devoid of God's Spirit. And those are the very, very strong contrasts that the Word of God provides. So we see a person who meditates is like a tree planted by streams of water, healthy, strong. We see that a person who meditates on the Word yields its fruit like a tree. There's fruit, spiritual fruit. And then it says, the leaf does not wither. In other words, even when times of difficulty and drought come, the leaf remains strong and green and healthy. Now, that doesn't happen unless the roots of that tree are rooted in moist, fertile soil. Well, how do we bear fruit when the spiritual droughts and the spiritual tests of life come? It's impossible unless we're rooted here, unless we're meditating on the Word of God, unless we're understanding it and applying it. That's the power of our time alone with God. He will give us the ability to be strong. He will give us the ability to bear fruit, and He will give us endurance. That's what I call it, endurance. We remain leafed out and growing and fruitful even when everything and everyone else around us is drying up and withering and blowing away. The Word of God is a powerful thing, and it's our resource for time alone with God. Wow. When you think about that, it can't help but challenge us, can it? Can't it? I mean, I think of how sometimes this resource is untapped. God help us to see the power in it, to the blessing in it, the opportunity in it as we spend our time with Him. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm challenged. I feel like we are all being challenged this morning to be a people who meditate on Your Word day and night. We want to be fruitful. We want to be strong. We want to have endurance. But we know, Lord, the key is for us to spend time meditating on Your Word. Help us to be not only hearers of Your Word, but to be doers of Your Word. Help us to go from the practice of just listening to applying it. Thank You, Father, for the power and the blessing that we can expect in our lives as we meditate on Your Word. I pray, dear Father, that this week in our time alone with You, we'll take the time to understand Your Word. We'll ask those questions of it, and we'll take the time to then say, Lord, what do You want me to do as I understand this? I pray that you will be with every one of our prayer partners here and who are listening at home or perhaps listening later on. And I ask, God, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. For, Lord, you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.